Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Chaim Schmidt from the Kosher Scene. This evening, we are hosting the co-authors of Passover Made Easy, Favorite Triple Tested Recipes, Leah Shapira and Victoria Dweck. Leah Shapira has been on her show before, and this is the first time we have the pleasure of meeting Victoria Dweck. Good evening, ladies.
Hi.
Hi. Tell me, how did you come up with the idea for this book? And I can definitely see a lot in common between this book and the first one, even though there are quite a few innovations here. But how did you both come up with this idea?
Okay, you can be saying things so we know who should answer the question.
Okay, let's start with Leah.
So I love Pesach recipes. I love Passover recipes. I find them a lot of fun. I think it's like a great challenge. And Victoria is an editor in a magazine, and she must, I think I'm the only one that I'm excited when she tells me to please create recipes. That's the first reason why we did it. We started with the Pesach cookbook. The second thing is that after I published my other book, which was Fresh and Easy Kosher Cooking, I realized that a lot of people couldn't actually afford to spend the $30 in a book. And that really bothered me. So I discussed this with my publisher, and we thought about it, and I said, we have to come up with a solution to do cheaper books, because I want everybody to be able to buy books, either to treat themselves or to buy it as a gift, and they should be able to own a beautiful cookbook at a much better price.
Okay. I've looked through the recipes. There are a lot of recipes here that are incredible. A lot of recipes that I just can't wait to try for Pesach, and I just might even try before. After all, there is no law that says that just because something is kosher to Pesach, you cannot try it during the year.
What are you going to try?
The one thing that I quoted in my post about this recipe, about this cookbook, was the chocolate cracker sandwiches. I'm a chocoholic. Incurable chocoholic. How can I possibly not try these before Pesach?
Right, and that cookie is a great cookie, just on its own. You don't have to do it with ice cream, or you can even serve it with board ice cream. And that cookie is really one of our best drop cookies. Now, Victoria?
Yeah, it's the best chocolate Pesach cookie that you can make. One year, when I am... We tested a lot of cookies, and even though this is part of a bigger recipe because you have the chocolate sauce and the chocolate ice cream,
mm-hmm. Right.
if I was making one cookie, I would make that chocolate cookie.
Another one that I cannot wait to try are the brisket egg rolls.
That seems to be everybody's favorite, and I think everybody liked, I had a similar egg roll in my last cookbook, like a flanken egg roll. And this is like a version of that. Brisket is a little cheaper than flanken, but you can definitely make it with flanken also. And what I like about that recipe is actually, that you can freeze it and just fry it fresh.
And also, of course, the veal chops in white wine sauce and the braised short ribs. I mean, just saying it makes my mouth water.
What about the photo?
The photos are
good,
quite
right?
Good, quite good.
Yeah, those are all good. We enjoyed them for many dinners.
Were these recipes that either of you were doing before you came up with the idea for the book? Were these recipes that were family recipes, or you just decided that you had to do something different for a Passover?
There's
Is that with Victoria?
There's definitely a bunch of, Leah's been very passionate about Pesach cooking for a long time. So there's definitely a few, tried and true in there. But we had to be very innovative also, because people want new ideas. And,
right.
When you need a roast, you need a roast recipe in the book. People need a new, fresh idea for a roast. And it's very hard to think of something that hasn't been done before and hasn't been published before, but we put our heads together and we discussed you know, new techniques and what ingredients we wanted to work with and what ingredients we didn't want to work with.
Right. And we knew we did not want to do a roast with like lactose sauces that you buy and you put over that. That wasn't the type of recipes we were looking for. We really were going for like homemade ingredients and doing things from scratch, just because it's a lot tastier, it's healthier, and especially on Pesach where you don't want to buy all those ingredients. You want to use basic pantry ingredients.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that got me excited about working on this book, even though I personally do use processed ingredients and kidney on Pesach, so I have less limitations than Leah does, but with working on this book, I said, who needs it? If we could make so many recipes using fresh flavors that we'd find, using items we'd find in the produce section in our butcher, then why do we need to take something off the shelf if we could make delicious things from basic, fresh ingredients?
One thing that I like in the book is your section on food and wine pairings.
Mm.
Let's face it, with all the great selections of wines, it's time we learned how to, you know, pair them with food and enhance both the wine experience and the food experience.
Yeah,
right. Another thing
I'm
that
the
I,
wine fan, yeah.
Another thing that I was very happy to see is that you're using almost verbatim my own charoses recipe.
Well, which one is that? The Syrian one or the more Ashkenazi?
Not the Syrian one. I'm Ashkenazi to the core. I'm sorry. Polish parentage, born in Germany, so you can't get more Ashkenazi than that.
I have a lot of grandmothers, and a lot of grandmothers do different versions. And when, you know, Victoria knew which charoset recipe she wanted, she's like, okay, I know which one. I was like, oh, boy, which grandmother's recipe am I going to pick? Like, which is the best one? But you see, I picked the best one if you have the same one, a similar one to mine.
Yeah. My mother, Sean, used to make it, and I always loved it because I cannot stand any apple other than the Granny Smith apples. So this one is just, and of course, I use hazelnuts. Sometimes I will use filberts, but usually use hazelnuts. The rest is exactly the same.
I don't know. You're both going to have to take some Korean paroset.
Mm-hmm. Now, I see one thing that I like a lot, the homemade mayonnaise. I usually buy mayonnaise, and I think that both mayonnaise for Pesach is terrible.
You should not buy mayonnaise. Homemade mayonnaise, especially on Pesach, is one of the easiest things to do, and it adds so much fabulous flavor to your food. And we actually just put out a video that shows you how to make it. So the instructions, I think, are very... Yes, but you can watch
it. Is the video online?
Yes, you can go on YouTube and search in YouTube Cook Kosher, which is one word with a double K.
Right.
So you got to make the mayonnaise.
Also different flavors of mayonnaise. So different kinds of dipping sauces that are great to use with a lot of the recipes in the book, like a roasted red pepper mayonnaise and an eggplant baba ganoush, which is the basis of the mayonnaise.
Right.
In the soup section, you have some very interesting soups, like the orange soup. And even though I don't see any orange soup on page 30.
Orange is just a play on the color, you know. It was so
right, because I was about to say that there is absolutely no oranges in this recipe.
It's like, you know, it's like one of these soups, you know, and I do a purple carrot salad, and we once had a guest, and the guest was like, can you pass the purple salad? We thought that was really funny, and now we don't even call it a carrot salad. We just say, you know, make the purple salad for Shabbos. So we felt the same way about the soup. We thought it was just so orange that's all we saw was orange.
So while you were testing these recipes in your respective families, how long did the families eat Passover soup, food without even knowing about it?
Depends if it was a winning recipe or not a winning recipe.
How many recipes did you actually test before you chose the 16 in this book?
There's a lot. First of all, some recipes you have to go through a lot of versions till you get the winning one.
Right, right.
And, you know, and some recipes you get it right on the first try, and it's delicious, and you know, it's a blessing when that happens. But sometimes you have to make something 3, 4, 7 times and tweak it and change it each time. So when the times when we knew we had the winning recipe, people didn't say, oh, this is great for Passover. They said, this is great. And they didn't even care if it was kosher for Passover or not. So there were a lot of desserts. There were a lot of desserts that my husband would taste.
I think it makes a difference. It was a main dish, a side dish. They had no idea it was a Passover recipe. When it came to desserts, I made the chocolate biscotti, and I always say this story that, you know, I made it, I put it into my cookie jar, and everyone was eating it, and then a neighbor came by, and I said, oh, by the way, do you want to taste my taste of biscotti? And she said, yes. And she said, oh, I have to make a shahakal on it. I was like, oh, right. I think my family's been, I forgot to tell them, they've been making mazonas the whole week.
by Friday,
obviously,
I was
tired. They said genuine enough, or they would not have suspected it.
No, they had no idea, and I had a lot of. I kept on making it again and again to make sure and to retest it. So we just kept on eating them.
Mhm. Now I see some of the recipes, like for example, macaroni and cheese. Obviously, that's a play on macaroni and cheese.
Mhm.
It's good.
Yeah,
Yes. I'm not likely to try it until after Passover, but how does it compare, realistically, how does it compare with the traditional macaroni and cheese?
Well, it doesn't taste like pasta, but it has the cheesy goodness, that comfort food type of feeling. And it's a kid-friendly, easy dish that's, you know, great. And I'm sure if you're running around all day on a Chol HaMoed outing, to come home to that, you know, cheesy, bubbling dish straight out of the oven is just very, very comforting. But it's not, it doesn't, you're not going to confuse it with pasta.
Right, but I just want to make clear that we only really have 4 Gebrux recipes in the whole book. So if somebody's listening to this, we don't, you know, we weren't sure if we wanted to include or not. And then we said, you know, we just picked our 4 best Gebrux recipes possible, and we put that in the book just because they were really great, and you know, they're not everyone could, you know, make these recipes, but for those that could, they're really going to enjoy it.
Mhm. Now, in the recipes, you have some very, very tempting ones, like for example, the matzah toffee bar crunch.
Mhm. Well, that's a classic, but it's a favorite.
That one I definitely have to try on the last day when I finally get to.
But you know,
that's
one that you could enjoy all year long, though.
Yes, absolutely. And another one that I absolutely positively must try are the truffle grapes.
Yeah, you don't have to just do it with grapes. Grapes are great. You can do them with, you know, almost any fruit. Grapes, I think, are the prettiest at the end of the day, but any fruit works really well.
Yeah,
it with confectionery sugar, but some people like, you know, want a little bitter, so they go with the cocoa. So they're both really great.
Right.
It's a very addictive little snack.
The more I look at the book, the more tempting it seems. I mean, the French toast with fresh spice rub. I mean, just the name is incredible. The braised short ribs in homemade duck sauce. Everything
right, and we, you know, we do most of the recipes. There's a couple, there's 3 or 4 that are not, and we will blame Victoria for that. But we try to keep the ingredient list. We try to keep the ingredient list short. We don't, you know, we want you to be able to really. It should be made easy. It should, and that's the point. We, you see,
right, you don't want to pass 4 hours.
Ingredients, and you can put it together, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you know, we do have like 3, 4 a little bit longer ones. But most of them are very easy to understand, and the instructions are short, so you don't have to read. And, you know, and we also, if you realize, we have these little tidbits and scribbles, because we had so much fun creating the book. We said, we had so much fun cooking for these recipes, that we said, we want everybody to feel like they're cooking with us.
Now, some of the recipes are variations on classic stuff. Some seem very, very unusual. What was your inspiration?
On which recipes?
Okay.
In general, I said, Victoria and I sat down and said, okay, what type of recipes do we want to cook for our families, right? We said, okay, we must have a basic chicken nugget for the kids. We must have a chicken on the bone. We want the best roast that we can possibly make. We want to have a meat that we can freeze well, like the veal and the white wine freezes fabulous. And this is really why we created this recipe. We said, each one to say, you know, if I was making a menu, I need a starch, I need a vegetable. So to me, this book, I can cook from beginning to end, and it would cover all my meals, you know. And that's what basically, mm-hmm. that's what inspired us to make this book. And that's what inspired the recipes, and that's how we decided what we're looking for.
Mm-hmm. My kids and my family, my kids are very picky. So a lot of dinners that are the most successful are the ones where I could put all the ingredients on the table and people can pick and choose what they want. And tonight we had a taco dinner, you know, with the meat is separate from the guacamole, from the different salads and the shells. So when we're working on the tortillas, the tomato mint salsa and the guacamole, that was inspired by a dinner we enjoy all year long. You know, it's easy and quick to put together. It's one recipe is the whole dinner. You don't have to worry about anything else. And I know that they're going to be happy with that Pesach meal that night.
One recipe I'm looking at right now that seems extremely, extremely interesting, and I definitely have to try it. It also seems fairly easy, is the stuffed onions.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so this is actually inspired from Victoria. If you're familiar with Syrian cooking, they stuff anything. Everything possible, they stuff. So Victoria was like, okay, how can we make this that it's not a scary sort of stuffing like that, that Syrian? And, you know, it's something that I've never stuffed zucchini with ground meat, which Victoria does all the time. But this is something that really appealed to me, and I was like, oh, great, I want to make this. I can't wait to make this. It's on my list to make. It's on my menu. And whoever's read that has said that. So it's really inspired a bit by Victoria's background.
Right. It's a really cool technique to stuff an onion. All the other vegetables, you have to take a special corer and get the middle outside. But with a stuffed onion, all you have to do is slice off the edges as little as possible so you could take the peel off. You make a little mm-hmm. slit through the middle, and you boil those onions, and then the outside, each wrap of the onion comes off, and you could put out a nice, you know, delicious stuffing inside.
Now, let me ask each one of you individually, okay? And we'll start with Victoria.
Mm-hmm.
Of the recipes in the book, what would you do for a complete seder?
Complete Seder?
Yeah.
You mean a meal?
Yeah, complete meal.
Are we going that you can't use roasted meat or not? Or is just what is like? Is this a creative imagination or realistic approach?
A realistic approach, and using only the recipes in the book.
Okay, so, I mean, usually when you get to the Seder meal isn't going to be the meal where I prepare the most dishes because a lot of people are full. We love our korech and our karoset and our maror, and because we love the karoset so much that we're pretty full by the time we get to Shulchan Aruch. So the other holiday meals would be, I would prepare more variety and more different items. But one of the meats, the ribs are braised, right?
Yes.
Is that okay for a Seder night?
I think so. It's in the oven, yeah.
I think so. They're in liquid, right?
Yeah, and you would make the Seder night chicken for people that don't want to have meat, right?
I don't make chicken with bones. You can make the Seder night chicken.
Yeah, Victoria doesn't do that. Well, I would definitely make the yapchik. I think all the men love that. It's a potato cooker with meat, you know, shredded in the middle. And
mm-hmm.
that bakes for hours in the oven, so that works really well for Seder night. And I know last time we did it with 5 pounds of potatoes, it was polished off. So I would definitely add that because I think that gives you, if somebody doesn't want to eat too much, the Seder night chicken is a classic chicken in a pot. So that would go on my menu. You know, like I actually love the zucchini sticks with the crushed potato chips, but I would not serve that on a Seder night just because it's a little more delicate. It's a little, you know, you need to serve it as an appetizer. I would save that for, you know, a more special meal. And, you know, like Victoria said, Seder night is a little simpler, you know. Like, we make a pineapple and Granny Smith applesauce, which is actually in my in Fresh and Easy, you know, because it's light and refreshing, and you can't, you know, you can't expect people at 12 o'clock at night to start eating, you know, hot chocolate
right.
desserts and things.
So what would you do for a dessert?
A light one. Maybe the strawberry fudge cake is nice because you're having a refreshing sorbet, you know. But you're getting
right.
your chocolate.
Even if you do the truffle grapes, would be a fun thing because you know that's light enough and everybody can take a few. It's like a delicacy more. And also, you know what? The lemon wafer cake really works fabulous. Also, it's a light lemon flavor, and you can cut them into small little cubes. So you can do like 2-3 little cubes with some fresh fruit, and that's a real favorite. That we loved during the year. So, you know, you wouldn't really think of it as a Pesach recipe.
Yeah, I definitely think some of the
like
more
I said, there is quite a few recipes here that I see no problem during the year. In fact, quite a few of them I actually will.
Like what?
Well, like I said from the beginning, the meatball in the egg rolls.
Right.
Right.
In the antipasti roll.
Okay.
That orange soup sounds great.
Right. Look, you
the
know,
schnitzel
I,
nuggets.
I think, you know,
with
I think
apricot
the
apricot dipping sauce. I mean, that sounds.
They definitely, you know, we ate them for half a year, so. If we didn't enjoy eating them when it wasn't Pesach, then it wouldn't have gone in. So, you know, there's a few that give us the stuff that we're missing on, you know, Pesach, like obviously the Bubby's Egg Bagels. I love them, you know, during a week in October during Hurricane Sandy when there was a blackout and we couldn't cook. I was eating those egg bagels that week.
Right,
but,
and our photographer ate the egg bagels after the photo shoot. And I was like, really? You want to eat a Pesach bagel? But, you know, if Victoria loved it, he loved it, so then, you know.
Yeah, so I'm probably not going to make them after Passover, only because we could have Chametz bagels, but they were delicious, and I enjoyed them. It's just that there's some things that you will save for Pesach, because it also gives you things to look forward to. Everybody has their favorites that they enjoy on specific holidays. I love matzah pancakes, even though I'm going to be making banana French toast this year. There's certain things that, as much as we love it, we save it for special occasions because it helps us look forward to the holiday and enjoy the holiday.
Right. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. My mother, Aliyah Sholem, used to make matzah brei, which on the last day, and I look forward to it. However, in the middle of the year, it never would occur to me to have matzah brei. On the other hand, there are recipes here that I could have all year round, like, for example, the pesto lemon sole with plum tomatoes.
Yeah, for sure.
The photo is quite good. The recipe is easy to make. Doesn't take very long.
Good. Pesto
and
is
everybody
great.
Everybody loves pesto.
Absolutely.
Right. That's also delicious. It's delicious on salmon also, but the reason why we chose to use a sole or a tilapia or white, a white fish is because the pesto has oils, so that kind of a topping keeps this fish nice and moist.
Mm-hmm.
And the salmon is because it's a fattier fish, you know, could go with, you know, a bigger variety of toppings and
right.
coatings. And
another great recipe is a barbecue rib steak with a honey horseradish glaze.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I mean, it's not necessary to wait till Pesach to have something like that.
Yeah, you don't have
especially
your glory.
Especially if you're a hardcore carnivore like me. A lot of interesting stuff here.
Well, I actually have a funny story.
You said that for 6 months
story.
Your family was eating these recipes. When
I
worked for this company that used to... they had an international club, and every month we would send Israeli products to the members of the club around the world. So one of the products that we sold at one point was Israeli halva. So I came up as a joke, or at least I thought it was a joke, I came up with the idea that in order to push it further, we should come up with a cookbook based on halva. Of course, it was a joke, because let's face it, you can't cook with halva. My boss loved the idea, and so did the client. So for the next year, everything my family ate had some amount of halva on it. We ended up with 60 recipes, from appetizers to main dishes to soups to everything. Of course, everything with halva. Since then, neither I nor the rest of my family have touched halva.
Yeah, so that reminds me of the pecan pie. You know, I made it once, I made it twice, I made it three times. Then I was like, oh, let me see if it works if I use oil instead of margarine. Then I was like, let me see if it works using walnuts instead of pecans. By the time it was number 14, no one wanted to look at the pecan pie. I pulled up the picture and I said, maybe it's not good anymore. I thought it was amazing in the beginning. So Victoria said she's going to make it. So Victoria made it that Friday, right, Victoria?
Yes. We had a lot of company over.
And how
did
it go?
That night I made a bunch of Pesach desserts. I didn't even have to say. Nobody even cared. I put the pecan pie down first. It was gone in a split second. Everybody took a piece, took a second piece, finished it. Within 5 minutes, the whole entire pie was gone. And then I brought out the next one, the ice cream. Then we brought out this, you know, the macarons. And at the end, when I said, oh, by the way, these are all Pesach desserts, nobody cared. They said they were just so happily enjoying it that they didn't even think for a second that.
Right, and my daughter doesn't want to see a pecan pie, Pesach or chametz for the rest of her life, she told me.
Right.
She cannot look at another pecan pie. She says there was pecan pie on my counter like 5 and 6, day after day after day.
Yeah, so that's why it's good to have two authors, because now my sister-in-law saw the pecan pie in the book, and she's like, oh, I'm so happy that's in the book. I can't wait to make it. So it's good. Some of us are sick of things, and some of us, you know, and some of us, but we're still, I think by the time Pesach comes, we'll have enough of a break. I think they'll want the pecan pie again.
Yeah, they'll want the pecan pie again.
Now, I am sure that there were also some not great experiments when you were doing this. Want to tell us about some of them?
Sure.
First, I'll tell you that Victoria and I, we always experiment with recipes. During the year, we don't have as many bad experiments, only because we really understand, like, you know, flour or the food better. Pesach is a little bit harder because it's a little more experimental. We're not sure,
right,
like, how much potato starch should we actually do. But, you know, during the year, we don't really make, there isn't really much mistakes. I can look at a recipe or I can imagine a recipe and it pretty much comes out.
We talk it out also, and you think about it. But there was these cupcakes that I was working on, and I kept making them over and over again. And the first time I made them with almond meal, and they came out great. But then I said, wait a minute, the people that are making it on Pesach were buying ground almonds, and it's not as fine as almond meal. So I made it with ground almonds. It wasn't as good, but it was so good the first time that I had to try it again and again. And then my husband was eating, and he said, oh, this is really good. And I'm like, are you sure? I don't believe you. So I said, I'm trying it one last time. If the batch is finished, I'm only going to put it in the book if my kids finish up the whole batch. And they ate a couple. It was all right. I said, that's it. In the garbage, this recipe is done. No book.
Yeah, Victoria called me up and she said, that's it. It's not going in the book. I'm like, why? You loved it in the beginning. Let me make it, you know? But this is why it was great also to have two writers, that we kept, you know, we tried each other, you know, we kept, everybody tried out the recipes. All the recipes really got tried a lot of times. They were actually all cooked in Israel also. So anybody that you know, that cooks in Israel and thinks that it doesn't always work out, all these recipes work out in Israel also.
Yeah, so it has been all over the world cooking.
Now that you've done this cookbook, looking back at the experience, would you do anything differently?
No.
No, we're very happy with the cookbook. Leia went to sleep that night that we went to print. She came up with some more ideas. She probably wanted to make it bigger.
Oh, yes, right. I forgot about that. Right. I couldn't sleep a whole night. I kept on saying, I should have made a cookie with, like, you know, with chopped almonds in it. And and then Victoria was like, okay, you know, you can put it in the magazine. So we write for a magazine. So my three recipes that I thought of the night after the cookbook, you know, was going to print are in the magazine.
Okay.
They're gonna be in the Pesach issue of Whisk, which is part of Ami. But I said, you know what, Hashem gives ideas at the right time, and he had to save the 60 recipes in the book. He had to save three ideas for after the book went to print.
Very good, and we're just about out of time. Time went way too fast. There were too many questions that I still have left to ask, but we'll have to do it another time. Both of you were very entertaining, very interesting, and we liked how you explained the process of coming up with the book. Thank you very much, ladies, and good night to both of you.
Thank you.
And good night to all our listeners. And we will be back again, Be'ezrat Hashem, next Wednesday evening, same station, same time. Good night, one and all.